WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there's no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 6th of November, 2023. My name is Arthur. This morning, I'm going to follow last week's show up with a continuation of... not really a continuation... but we're going to have John Daner starring as Paladin again and Have Gun Will Travel. This one aired the week following the one I played last week, which was A Matter of Ethics. That was heard on the 1st of February, 1959. This particular episode, The Killer's Widow, aired on the 8th of February, 1959. Every now and then I've done this consecutive shows. Thanks for listening.
I came here to tell you I'm not an executioner. It doesn't feel good to kill a man. Not a bit good. But your husband didn't leave me any choice.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Sounds wonderful. And then, Mr. Paladin?
And then, perhaps a cordial for a nightcap.
I do believe I'll be looking forward to this evening a great deal, Mr. Paladin.
And I, too.
Mr. Paladin!
Oh, what?
I've been looking for you. I find you.
Hey, boy, your timing is abysmal.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Paladin, but credit must go to mailman. He just brings special delivery letter for you.
Excuse me, my dear.
What?
Oh, say, I'll meet you in the lounge later.
Well...
oh, she is very high dungeon.
Dungeon?
Yes, sir, that's what I say. Very high dungeon.
Dear Mr. Paladin, I need you for an important assignment immediately, and so forth. There's a $3,000 bonus for you upon completion. I appreciate you seeing you at your earliest convenience. So, very truly yours, E.J. Randolph, Coloma Bank. Coloma.
Oh, you there not long ago, yes?
Yes, about 2 months ago.
Oh, yeah. Here are your two tickets for opera tonight.
I'll take them back, hey boy.
Yes, what?
I'm leaving for Coloma tonight.
Oh, must be real big trouble to interfere with lady who was almost kissed.
And wire Mr. Randolph. Tell him I'm on my way.
Dandruff bothers most men, most women too, so listen. Today, you can get rid of embarrassing dandruff in just 3 minutes. Yes, with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. Unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes. It's the quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. That's not all. Using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Simply apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch Shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. And never forget, Gentle Fitch can also leave your hair up to 35% brighter. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too, use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today, only 59 cents.
Coloma was a poor excuse for a town. It sat alone and awkward in the center of a dry, scorched plain with a few ranches stretching back towards the low mesas behind it. I'd been there before and I killed a man there. I didn't like the town, I didn't like the people, but Randolph had offered me a lot of money. I found him sitting behind his desk at the bank.
Well, Paladin, sure good to see you.
Hello, Mr. Randolph.
Sit down.
Thank you.
How about a little rye to cut the dust? Huh?
Yeah, I don't mind.
Hey, didn't waste any time getting here.
The distance between San Francisco and Coloma is shorter when there's a $3,000 fee involved.
Right to the point. That's what I like about you, Paladin. That's why I sent for you. Well, here's luck.
Thank you. So, what can I do for you, Mr. Randolph?
You did a job for John Griffin about 2 months ago. He hired you to bring back Steve Morrow. Remember him?
You don't forget someone you've killed.
Didn't mean any offense.
No. I'm not offended. Morrow tried to kill me. I had to kill him. Griffin wanted Morrow because Morrow had killed his son. What's that got to do with you?
Morrow robbed this bank before he killed that Griffin boy. He took $30,000.
I still don't see the connection.
Paladin, I've got to have that $30,000 back by the first of the month or I'll lose everything I own.
And you need help?
Yes. Yes, I need help. Badly. 15 years of hard work, building a business and a name for myself, gone, just like that. Gone and signed over to John Griffin.
John Griffin? How does he figure in this?
He's the biggest depositor the bank has. He knows about the stolen money, and he's using that knowledge. He's given me notice that he wants to withdraw $30,000 on the first. If I don't have it, the deed to this building and most of the other property the bank owns will be signed over to him. And I don't have it, Mr. Paladin.
Well, then, that makes my job fairly easy.
Well, how's that?
Find Morrow's widow. She must have the money, or at least know where it is.
I don't think so. She's still living in that cabin up there on the mesa. Well, the sheriff and I have been up a dozen times searching the place, trying to talk her into telling us where it is. She hasn't got the money. Well, if she had it, she'd have left Coloma and gone someplace else to spend it. Either that or at least paid up the back taxes on the farm.
Huh. I thought for sure Rose had that money.
Rose?
Steve Morrow's widow.
You mean Lucy Morrow. Her name's Lucy.
Oh? I'm going to check into the hotel and freshen up a bit.
And then what?
Ride out and talk to Lucy Morrow. Morning, Mr. Randolph.
Yes?
Good afternoon, Ms. Morrow. I'm Paladin.
Did you think I could forget you, Mr. Paladin?
No, I suppose not. I'd like to talk to you, if I may.
I'm going to work on the Rose Garden. You can talk there if you wish.
Yes, I noticed them as I rode up. They're beautiful.
They are. It's an eastern variety, Calinaris.
Oh. Must be rather difficult to grow them out here.
Oh, it's worth the trouble to have one lovely thing here. They were a present from Steve. He brought me some cuttings after one of his trips back east.
Why have you stayed on here?
Simple. There's nowhere else to go and no money to go with.
Your husband took $30,000 from the Coloma Bank. It's never been found.
This house was turned inside out. Do you think I'd be living here like this if I had $30,000?
Perhaps not.
I don't know anything about that money, Mr. Paladin.
I don't mean to bother you, Mrs. Morrow.
Why do you bother me, then? You knew this before you came out here.
I killed Steve. If it hadn't been me, it would have been somebody else, somewhere else. He was an outlaw, a killer. I suppose I wanted to come here and tell you that I'm not an executioner. I was bringing him in, and he went for his gun. Doesn't feel good to kill a man. Not a bit good.
I know you're not the kind to kill for the sake of another notch on your gun, but Steve was my husband. Please don't come back here again. Or if you have to, wait until I'm gone.
You're leaving?
Yes. They're auctioning the place for $276 back taxes. Oh, don't look so pained. I'll get along. Maybe it'll be best. Get out of here, Paladin. Leave me alone, please.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Morrow.
I'm a mean widow, kid.
And are you pleased with yourself?
Sure, because I'm a germ. A bathroom germ. Bathrooms is where the meanest germs get to live. Do I have fun causing odor and spreading disease?
Well, you better watch out, son, or your landlady may find out about Lysol brand disinfectant.
Lysol?
No, Lysol.
That's what I said. Lysol.
Well, anyway, a lot of women are finding that a dash of Lysol in their cleaning suds every week wipes out nasty bathroom disease germs like you. Disinfects from one cleaning to the next as no other product can. Wipes out many deadly viruses, too. Lysol makes every cleaner work better. It's the easy, modern way to get bathrooms really clean and free of odors.
Lysol can do that?
And what's more, now besides regular Lysol, there's a new sweet-smelling pine-scented Lysol. And they're both out to get you.
Hey, was you ever a mean widow, kid?
One more remark like that and I'll open this bottle of Lysol.
Help!
The Griffin Ranch was the same as it had been. Old, and solid, and well-kept. Run by a man who was old and solid and tough. A man who had lost one son by Steve Morrow's gun and had one son left. A man who could not forget or forgive.
Well, you look about the same, Paladin. Come on in, set a spell.
I'd just soon sit out here in the fresh air, Mr. Griffin.
Fine, fine. What brings you back to these parts?
$30,000.
Stolen money, eh? A lot of people like to get their hands on that. You ought to have a pretty good idea where it might be.
Why do you say that?
Well, you were the last person to be with that murdering fool. The way I had it figured, Morrow had the money with him when you killed him. I hear you've been living pretty high on the hog up in San Francisco.
Those are harsh words, Griffin.
Oh, now, now, don't get itchy. I was just only joshing. You wouldn't be back here if you had it.
Steve Morrow didn't have that money when I found him. And according to his wife, he didn't even have it when he left the farm.
Oh, you talked to her?
I just came from there.
Well, it takes a lot of nerve for a man to go up and talk to the wife of somebody he killed. Hey, you suppose Steve Morrow hid it on that farm of his?
Mr. Randolph and the sheriff searched it.
I know. Old Randolph's getting fidgety. A while back, he got the idea that Morrow buried the money up on the mesa. You never saw such digging and poking around. I swear the mesa's 10 feet shorter on account of it.
That farm adjoins your property, doesn't it?
Yeah. On the south. Why?
I hear it's up for auction. Should be worth at least a couple of $1,000 to you.
I'll get it for $276, the taxes.
Someone will outbid you at that price.
I don't reckon so, Paladin. Nobody else is going to bid on it. Those who can afford to bid on it don't have any use for that farm.
Randolph might have use for it.
Ah, that old pussyfoot. He wouldn't know how to plant potatoes.
He might know how to dig for stolen money.
Hey, tell me something, Paladin. You working for Randolph?
Maybe. Maybe not.
You are working for him. I might have known. You know, I'd just assume the money doesn't get back to the bank.
Oh?
I'd lose about $60,000 in holdings that belong to it. But those holdings will be mine come the first of the month. Well, that's not a pretty way to talk, but at least it's the truth.
I see. What happens to Randolph, then?
Out in the cold where he deserves to be. If I ran my ranch like he runs that bank, I'd have been out of business a long time ago.
Well, getting close to sundown, I think I'll be heading back to town.
No, Paladin, I hate to see a man like you working on the dark side of the fence. I thought you always roamed the green fields.
Which are the green fields, Griffin?
Mine are.
By the way, you buy that farm just for the taxes. Steve Morrow's widow won't get a cent.
Well, now, ain't that a downright shame?
She didn't kill your son, Griffin.
No, but her husband did. And all I hope is that his kin are gonna suffer on account of it. That's how I feel about Morrow and her.
Come in.
Paladin?
Well, Mr. Randolph.
You, make it a habit, staying up this late?
I do my best thinking when the town's settled for the night.
You've covered a lot of ground today. Getting discouraged?
Did you come here to discourage me?
Yeah, there's a lot of territory between Coloma and the Mesa. Morrow could have hidden that money anywhere.
Not without telling his wife.
Now, since when does a killer stop to worry about his wife?
Randolph, whatever you want to say about Morrow, he loved his wife. He'd have wanted to make sure she was provided for him. Why, he even spoke about her when he was dying. His last words were, "Rose, tell her that..." Wait a minute. Tell her?
What are you talking about?
Randolph, that money's up there on the farm.
You mean she does have it?
She doesn't know it, but it's there.
Where is it, then? Why, we've torn that place apart.
You just didn't dig in the right spot. I'm going up there now and get your money. You wait here.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
And I'll be digging by 2.
Now there's a luxury car that fits regular parking spaces in ordinary garages that's easy to handle in traffic. It's America's compact luxury car, the Ambassador by Rambler. Now, medium-priced car buyers can have the room, comfort, luxury, and performance they expect in a fine car, but without excessive length, width, and bulk. If other medium-priced cars have sized and priced you out of the market, then you owe it to yourself to test our best, American Motors' finest, the luxuriously compact Ambassador. Note the quality construction and careful attention to detail. Thrill to the superbly responsive 270-horsepower V8 engine. Enjoy luxury features like individually adjustable front seats that glide back and forth separately. 5 minutes at the wheel of an Ambassador will change your ideas about luxury cars. Test our best, the Ambassador V8 by Rambler. Finest car ever priced so close to the lowest. See, drive the luxurious Ambassador now at Rambler dealers.
When I dismounted at Lucy Morrow's, I thought I heard a horse nicker in a nearby clump of cottonwoods. I waited, but all was quiet except for the wind through the trees. Lucy Morrow was a light sleeper. She answered my second knock.
What do you want?
Put the shotgun down, Miss Morrow.
What are you doing here this time of night?
The money. It's here on the farm.
We've been through that before, Paladin. They ripped my place apart. Every floorboard, every inch of this cabin, the yard's full of holes. You saw it this afternoon.
I know, Mrs. Morrow, but...
The money isn't here. Look, this is my last night in the only home I ever had, and I don't mean to be bothered.
Mrs. Morrow...
Now, get away from here before I blast that shirt right off your back.
You wouldn't have to leave tomorrow if I find the money.
I'm not wasting any more words with you.
Miss Morrow... In your rose garden, is there a bush not doing well?
Paladin, it's late and it's cold.
Answer me, is there?
Well, yes, there is one, but what's that got to do with the money?
Flowers need soil at their roots, Ms. Morrow, not gold.
What?
You get me a shovel, I'll show you what I mean. You know, it took me a while to... figure out that a dying man wouldn't call his wife Rose. Her name was Lucy. Oop. Hold the lamp a little closer. I think we've got it. Now. Yeah, this is it. A leather bag from the Coloma Bank.
We'll open it.
Yeah.
Gold coins.
$30,000 worth.
Here in the rose garden all the time.
Drop that. Raise your hands.
What?
Come on. Do what I say. Good. Now just stand steady. All right, Cleet. Let's move in. Keep that light high, woman, so as we can see you both.
Lucy.
Yes?
When I say the word, throw that lamp at them high, eye level, then hit the ground fast. I'll say when.
All right.
Now.
No more! Don't shoot again.
Just stand easy, mister.
You shot him. You shot my boy.
I didn't have much choice.
Cleet. Cleet, boy. He hurt bad.
I'll be all right, Paul.
I'll get you for this, Paladin.
Don't try anything foolish, Mr. Griffin. You're already in enough trouble.
I'm in trouble.
Trying to hijack stolen money. Trespassing, attempted murder.
Paladin, there's someone coming.
Yeah, I heard him. I think it's Randolph.
Randolph?
He knew I was coming out here. He probably couldn't stand waiting in town. After all, the money belongs to his bank.
Paladin! Paladin, you all right?
Yes, we're all right. We're over here, Mr. Randolph.
Well, what happened? What was all the shooting?
Well, there was a little discussion as to who was going to get that bank's money. I won.
You mean you have the money? You found it, all of it?
I think so, here.
Oh, good. Good, that's it right enough.
Now, in regards to my fee, Mr. Randolph.
Yes?
I want you to give it to Lucy.
What?
Lucy?
I think a woman ought to be able to keep her home if she wants to. At the auction tomorrow, you can decide whether you want to stay or leave this charming town.
Thank you, Paladin.
As for you, Griffin, get your boy back to your own ranch and bandage that leg of his. I don't think Lucy Morrow cares one way or the other what happens to you. Mr. Randolph wants to bring charges later. That's up to him. As for myself, I'm saying goodbye to Coloma for the last time.
Oh, you're back, Mr. Paladin.
And ready to see the city bright and shining?
Oh, best you go away 2-3 more days, maybe.
Why should I?
Her.
Who?
Her lady over there. He very unhappy when you will not take her to the opera.
Well, didn't you explain it was business?
Oh, yes, sir.
Important business?
Yes, sir, but her business more important to her, I think, Mr. Paladin. He maybe kill you, huh?
I hope not. Well, the best way is the direct way. Excuse me.
Hmm? Oh.
I hope you missed me. You did miss me. Oh. I have no other cheek to turn.
Then kindly turn yourself around and leave me alone.
I can hardly do that. You see, I've thought of nothing and no one but you. All this time.
Really?
Really.
Am I to believe?
You are to believe only that which will make you feel better, and me feel better, and both of us enjoy a lovely evening together. That, to me, would be a simple solution.
So?
Dinner?
Well...
Please.
You are a very convincing man.
The current issue of TV Radio Mirror has a feature story on the man who portrays Paladin every Sunday night on CBS Radio, Mr. John Daner. Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Albert Alley and adapted for radio by John Dawson. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Eleanor Tannen, and Joseph Kearns. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
I don't know if I'll play another one next week. But that was, as you heard it, Have Gun, Will Travel. Titled that story, The Killer's Widow. An original air date of the 8th of February, 1959. I don't usually play back-to-back back-to-back episodes of... I haven't in some time, anyway. But over the weekend, I happened to see John Daner in back-to-back westerns, television shows. However, Have Gun Will Travel ran concurrent in its original year airing with the actual TV show starring Richard Boone, which I personally can't stand. So this, when they say adapted script, was more than likely adapted from a television script. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Free Form Radio. Stay tuned. We'll have a be back right after this FCC obligation.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of RAD. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. Remember, if you're partying this holiday season, don't drink and drive. Got it? It's just not worth it. Doesn't make sense. Thank you. Yes, I'm
gonna be a star. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Thank you, Paul McCartney, and the Ad Council. Below me is the music from Richard Diamond, which I played last week. This is actually the music from the television show, not the radio show. I'm not going to be playing the radio, a radio drama this morning. I will be, it's just not going to be Richard Diamond. I found another one. Blake Edwards wrote. This one stars Jim Backus. No, not stars Jim Backus, but has Jim Backus in it. This is titled, this is called The Lineup. The show's called The Lineup. It's another police drama. The show's titled The Bakery Bandit, with an original air date of the 25th of March, 1952. Thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, by transcription, we take you now behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup.
In the shop. I thought maybe you'd give me a lift home.
Well, I gotta wait for Pete, but you're welcome if you want to stick around.
Yeah, thanks. I'll see you later.
Yeah, see you later. Hello, Miss Green.
Oh, hello, Lieutenant.
Been here long?
Do you think you have the man?
Well, I don't know. If you see anybody that looks familiar at all, I want you to speak up.
Will there be many people to choose from?
There'll be quite a few.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please?
That's Sergeant Carter.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Carter, Sergeant Pete Carter. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you see will be numbered. I'll call up a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have him held. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers as they often lie. Okay, bring on the line. All right, keep it moving right over to the end of the stage. Okay, now turn and face front. Hands at your sides. Number three, take your hands out of your pockets. Now, when you answer my questions, talk up so the people in the back of the room can hear what you have to say. Okay, Leroy Morris, open charge. Step out, Leroy. Where do you live?
237 and one quarter, North Jefferson.
Is that a house?
No, it's a hotel, the Jefferson Arms. It's a hotel.
Where do you work?
Well, I'm not working.
How long since you had a job?
Well, I guess about 3 months.
Where'd you work in your last job?
The Berkshire Baker.
He's too small.
You own a car?
Too small.
No.
When you worked at the bakery, Leroy?
The Berkshire Baker.
Yeah. You work at the main plant?
Yes.
What was your job?
I cleaned up.
Janitor?
Well, I guess you could call it that.
What would you call it?
A cleanup man.
Okay, Leroy, step back.
Yes, sir.
Number two, James Hamilton, open charge.
He's about the
where
right
do you
size.
9078 East Waterfield Street.
But that doesn't sound like his voice.
That's a marshal.
Yeah.
What's your business?
Handyman.
Afraid I don't know what a handyman is, Jim. Why don't you tell me?
No, that's not his voice. The other one was much higher.
Well, he could have raised it.
Yes, I guess he could.
Sergeant Carger.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Have the suspect raise his voice. Talk higher.
Raise your voice, Jim.
Higher?
Yeah, higher.
Like this?
Higher.
Higher, Sergeant.
Higher, Jim.
How is this?
Well, that's more like it.
Now, say something.
What do you want me to say? I feel silly.
State your name and address again.
James Hamilton, 9078 East Waterfield Street.
That's not the man, Lieutenant.
Okay, Sergeant.
That's fine, Jim.
Is that all?
You can speak naturally.
I hope I still can.
Step back, Jim.
I'm a soprano.
All right. All right, step back.
Okay.
Number three, William O'Brien, Grand Theft Auto. Come on, step out. Take your hands out of your pockets. Where do you live, Bill?
211 South Juanita.
Where's that?
That's a new development over near Marview.
He's not the one.
He's too short.
New
veterans development, isn't it, Bill?
Yes, sir.
What's your business?
Carpenter. I've never been arrested before.
Just answer the question.
I'm sorry.
You employed?
Yes, sir.
Where?
Clearfield Construction Company.
Anyone with you when you were arrested?
No, sir.
What kind of a car was it?
It's a foreign car, huh? I don't know what kind it was. I'd been drinking.
You drank much?
Well, not much. Had a fight with my wife. Oh, I'm sorry.
For what?
Just supposed to answer the question.
You had a fight with your wife?
Yes, sir.
You got drunk?
I sure did.
Then what'd you do?
Well, I don't remember much. I guess I just got in the car and drove it off. Guess I was feeling sorry for myself and just wanted something to happen.
It happened?
Yes, sir. It sure did.
How long you been married?
3 months since I got back from overseas.
Where overseas, Bill?
Korea.
You didn't hold up a bakery while you were feeling sorry for yourself, did you?
Hold up a bakery? I sure didn't, honest.
Okay, step back, Bill.
I'm sure he isn't the one.
No, I'm sure he isn't either. Hi, Pete. Want some coffee?
Yeah. No identifications, huh?
No. How's Miss Green going to identify anybody who walked into a store with a silk stocking over his head?
Pretty tough. You ever try it?
I've seen it. Here.
Thanks. Sure can change your face in a hurry.
Yeah. You know, whoever this guy is, he's smart. He's done all three jobs on Monday morning.
That's smart?
Well, he gets the take for 2 full days. These bakeries are open on Sunday.
Sounds like he might have worked for the bakery.
Yeah. Or knows somebody who works for them. He wouldn't know how to find those floor safes unless he was well informed.
About 6'1".
Yeah.
Weight around 180.
Mm-hmm.
Wears brown hat and leather jacket.
And a silk stocking over his face.
Hey, it's good coffee.
Carries a gun, revolver. And I hope we get him before someone scares him and he starts using it.
You got the rest of the bakeries staked out?
Yeah. Our men will cover from Sunday night till Tuesday morning. Can't spare them any longer than that. Guthrie.
That's Quine, Ben. Silk stocking boy at the Excelsior Bakery and shot a guy.
Kill him?
Don't know yet. Waiting for the ambulance.
Excelsior Bakery, huh? Okay, Pete and I will take it.
Something hot?
The guy with the silk stocking just held up another bakery, shot someone.
Ben.
Yeah?
This isn't Monday. Ambulance is here.
Yeah. There's Quine.
Hi, Ben.
Pete.
Any witnesses?
Yeah, just the girl in the store.
Who's the man?
Checker for the bakery, just making the rounds.
Talk to the girl yet?
No, I've been too busy getting you in the ambulance down here.
Well, let's see what she has to say.
Oh, Miss Beattie?
How is he, Sergeant?
They'll take him to the hospital. We'll know more after he gets here. This is Lieutenant Guthrie and Sergeant Carter. They'd like to ask you some questions.
I hope I can help.
Did you get a good look at the man, Miss Beattie?
A good look? Yes, it was horrible. He looked like... Well, I can't describe it. His face was all pushed out of shape under his silk stocking.
Same guy.
How did it happen?
It all started after I'd given him the money.
He made you open the safe?
Yes, the floor safe. He made me go into the back of the store with him. I was scared stiff. Well, we got into the storeroom and he made me open the safe. Then he told me to put all the money into the bread bag. I did it as fast as I could. I just wanted him to leave, get out of the shop.
Mm-hmm. And what happened then?
Then he made me lie down on the floor. Just as I'd done what he said, the bell on the front door rang. It was the checker from the bakery, Mr. Burns.
Go ahead.
Well, the bell rang, and this robber made me get up and go out to see who it was. He told me to wait on them as though nothing had happened. Said he'd have his gun on me, not to make any slips. I've never been so scared in my life.
How did he know it was Mr. Burns?
How did he know? Well, I guess when I started talking to him, Mr. Burns, that is, I almost fainted when I saw who it was.
And did you try to warn him?
Mr. Burns? No, I was so scared that I just stood there. If I'd only done something.
Well, now, just relax. Try to take it easy and take your time.
Yes, sir. I knew that Mr. Burns had come to check the store, and they'd go into the back of the store. All I could do was stand there. I tried to talk, but nothing would come out. Finally, I asked Mr. Burns to go away and come back later.
And what did Mr. Burns do?
Well, he just laughed and made a joke about my having a boyfriend in the back of the store. The robber must have gotten scared when Mr. Burns laughed, because that's when he... Oh, my gosh. I'm getting the shakes. Look at me.
Here. Sit down.
I'll be all right. It's funny. I was pretty good till I started telling you about it.
You want to tell us the rest?
Yeah, sure. I'll be all right. Well, Mr. Burns was still laughing when I heard the first shot. It all happened so fast, and I was so frightened.
You said first shot. How many shots were fired?
How many? Oh, three, I think. I was looking at Mr. Burns when the first one hit him. He stopped laughing. I'll never forget his face.
Did he shoot at you?
I don't think so. He fired two more times, as I remember, and Mr. Burns spun around and fell on the counter. Right over there.
The doc found three holes in Burns.
Mm-hmm. And what happened then?
Then the man ran out the front door. I ran after him and yelled for the police.
The man on the street called in. That's when I got the call.
Miss Beattie, can you remember if the holdup man touched anything? Or if there was any place where he might have left fingerprints?
Let me see. Oh, I don't think I'd remember if he did.
Get all the information on Miss Beattie. We want a statement.
Right.
I hope you catch him.
We will. This guy isn't going to be easy.
He'll slip. They always do.
Yeah? And in the meantime, he's liable to fill up this hospital.
Well, there's the doc. Hope he has something good to say.
I hope so.
Hello, Guthrie. You look as tired as I feel.
Yeah, I'm tired, all right. How about Burns?
Can't tell yet. He's still out. Just wheeled him out of surgery. Took three slugs out of the center abdomen.
Mm-hmm. What were they?
Looked like 38s. Sent them over to Charlie in the lab.
I'll check.
They were steel jackets. Otherwise, Burns wouldn't have any stomach at all. Must have been fired at close range. Powder burns on his shirt.
According to the witness, he was about 10 feet away.
I sent the clothes down to Charlie in the lab.
Charlie's going to be tired, too.
Have any leads on who did it?
No, no a thing.
What does he look like?
You ever see a man with a silk stocking pulled over his head?
Oh, you're kidding.
Not a bit. Makes identification almost impossible.
Silk stocking, huh?
Thinking about trying it?
Might not be a bad idea when I want to sneak out of the house. Well, take care of yourself, Ben. Get some sleep.
I'll try.
Send you over some vitamins.
Thanks.
Don't mind.
Nice guy.
Yeah. We think we've got a tough job.
He probably won't show himself for a while after using that gun.
He might. So far, he's been taking nothing but chances.
He sure crossed us up.
Pulling a job on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Pretty smart.
Yeah?
2 days take again.
How do you figure?
Bank holiday yesterday.
Hey, you're right. I'll be darned.
Well, let's see what the lamb's got.
Hi, boys.
What do you got for us, Charlie?
Got these, 38s.
Uh-huh.
Find anything in the bakery?
Yeah, nice little girl gave me some coffee cake to take home.
Anything official?
Nothing yet. The victim was shot from about 10 feet.
Yeah, we know that.
Hey, you want some coffee cake?
No, thanks.
You shouldn't be eating that stuff, Charlie. You're getting too heavy.
I'd want to diet if you're really worried.
Well, let's know if you find anything.
Don't I always?
Honest, Charlie. Can't stay healthy with all that weight.
My mental attitude. I escape by feeding my neurosis on coffee cakes and bonbons.
Well, I'm going to stake those bakeries out on a 24-hour schedule if it's just one man.
Man.
Yeah, what's up, Clint?
Man, I got shot in the bakery, Mr. Burns.
And what about him?
Doc Gerson just called from the hospital. Burns died.
Hmm. What about his family?
I'm going over there now.
Well, I've got a killer to catch now.
Big Town is where mystery and action awaits you every week. CBS Radio's Big Town, Wednesday nights on most of these same stations, is where editor Steve Wilson and his staff of fighting newsmen and women come to grips with criminals and killers. And there's action-packed listening every minute. Don't miss the latest Big Mystery Extra in Big Town.
It says here that meat's gone up another 4 cents.
Yeah?
Mm. Remember when you could get a hamburger for 15?
Yeah. Maybe we should be vegetarians, huh?
Mm, vegetables are up, too.
Why don't you read the funnies?
I have.
Food keeps going up, we'll have to give up eating.
Sure. I can just see you.
That say anything about Burns getting shot?
Yeah. Silk stocking killer.
Mm, that'll sell papers.
Police baffled.
Always were baffled. Why don't they say anything about the ones we wrap up in a hurry? Police not baffled.
Hmm.
Well, come on, don't hog it.
All right, here. Read the funnies.
Better than this menu.
What's the matter with the menu?
You read it lately?
I make it up.
I didn't think it looked real.
Jokes. Here. 2 hamburger steaks in a hurry.
I'd sure hate to wait around when you were taking your time.
How do you put up with him, Lieutenant?
Ignore him.
Benny, I really love you.
Off.
It's your food I'm mad at.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I hate to bust this up.
All right, then don't.
Some guy just called him.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was out walking his dog, saw a guy bury a sack, dug up the sack, and found it full of money.
We're on the bakery job.
Yeah, well, that's what this is all about.
What do you mean?
The bag the money was in came from the Berkshire Bakery.
What's the man's name?
Davis. Arthur Davis.
Oh, 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 oh. Quiet, William. Quiet, boy.
Hey, eh? Oh, stop it, William. Get back there.
Mr. Davis?
Yes, what is it?
We're police officers, Mr. Davis.
Oh, come in, come in.
Thank you. This is
Sergeant... I thought you were coming right over. I called a good 15 minutes ago. Thought you'd be right over here.
Well, we were having
the money's in the other room in the sack. William? Oh, now, what's the matter with you? You like policemen?
I guess you don't like police.
I guess not.
I guess he ain't a police dog. Oh, there's the money.
Do you mind telling us how you found it?
Well, I dug it up. I told one of your men on the phone. Didn't he tell you?
Well, he was a little vague. He just said...
I saw some fella burying it. I was out walking with him. No, William. I was out walking him, and I saw this fellow burying something. What do you fellas call yourselves?
Well, I'm Guthrie.
Davis, Arthur Davis.
Now, how do you do?
William. Oh, he's quite a dog.
I'm sure he is.
I saw this fellow out burying something, and he was looking mighty suspicious. Oh, yes, he was looking around like he was expecting to see a ghost or something.
You think you'd recognize him again, Mr. Davis?
Recognize? Oh, no. It was way too dark.
Well, didn't he see you?
Well, how could he?
Well, if you saw him...
Well, I was on the road above him. He couldn't see me, but I could sure see him. And William, he didn't open his mouth, not once. He's a good dog.
Mm. You mind if I look at the bag, please?
Hmm? Oh, go ahead, yes. $432. That's what I found, and that's what you got.
Would you mind showing us where you found this, Mr. Dale?
Why, certainly, certainly. $432. I didn't touch a bit of it. Come on, will you? Let's show the fellas where we found the... Oh, excuse me.
Phew. Hello. Yeah.
Hello? What's that? Who? No, my name is Davis. Guthrie.
Must be quiet.
No. This is Davis.
That's for me, Mr. Davis.
Oh, yes, wait a minute. Why didn't you say who you wanted? You asked for some fellow named Guthrie.
Well, I'm Guthrie. I told my office to call.
William, now, Guthrie. You just shut up now. You know, it's not polite to make all this racket when someone's trying to talk on the telephone.
Where?
Now, if I've told you one time, I've told you a
house. Okay. I'll get right over.
Nice boy.
Yeah. Boy with a silk stocking.
Boy with a silk stocking.
Another bakery?
Yeah. You stay here with Mr. Davis.
Well, ain't you going to come along while I show you?
Well, you show Sergeant Cog.
Who?
I'm Cogger.
Oh, well, surely. Come along. I'll show you. Yes, you can come, William.
After he shows you, send him back to the house. Quine said our boy's wounded, so maybe he'll come back to dig up with the money.
Right.
You fellas coming? I want to leave this door open, you know.
Be right there, Mr. Davis.
Oh, hold your horses, will you, boy?
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Not far now. Just up ahead, and then you turn right. Just up ahead.
All right, Mr. Davis.
I left Sergeant, what's his name?
Cogger.
I left him up there. Oh, it's cold up there. Turn right. Better slow down there. Wish you'd let me take William with me. He won't like me going out without... Stop right here. Yeah. That, what's his name? He should be around here somewhere.
Hey, up, Pete.
Now, the place where he buried the money's right down below the road.
You don't have to get out, Mr. Davis.
Well, don't you want me to show you where...
Well, you showed Sergeant Cogger, didn't you?
Well, sure I showed him.
Well, then you better go back to your house.
Oh, I wanted to stick around for the fireworks.
Take him back, Quine.
Right.
Well, look, I showed you where I dug up the money.
I'm sorry, Mr. Davis. Come right back, Quine. Give us a whistle.
Right.
Oh, boy, I don't think that's very nice of you. I can't get the money in
there. There's a character.
Now, where's the spot?
Oh, off the road and down the hill. Watch your step, dog. Front steep.
Yeah, kind of.
Right over here. Over here. What was doing at the bakery?
It was small stakeout. A boy with a silk stocking came in and Small covered him.
Here's the spot.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you're back here, a man must have gotten away.
Yeah. Let's get out of sight. I'll tell you about it.
Trees over there pretty good.
Right. Small and the suspect shouted out. Small hit him, but doesn't know how bad... Chased him, but there was a lot of traffic in that district.
Yeah, how's this?
Okay. Now, which way does Stocking Face come up here?
Davis didn't see him come up, but he says he left down that way.
Mm.
There's a golf course over there. Must have come through it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if he's not hurt too badly, he may come looking for his money.
And if he is hurt badly, he might save us some trouble.
That a lot. We're pretty sure he had a car parked over on Adams. A couple of people saw a man run up to a car and take off. They all said it looked like he was hurt.
License number?
No. Guy sure got a lot of nerve.
Pressed his luck too far this time. After killing Burns, you'd think he'd stay low for a while.
You'd think so.
Well, there's no telling about some people.
Wish I'd brought a heavy coat.
Wish you'd brought two. Stopping down the hill.
I might not be quiet.
Yeah, that's quiet.
Give him a flash of your light. I flash it again. Keep coming.
Yeah, watch your step.
I parked the car down the hill.
Yeah, we heard you.
It's off the road in case he comes up that way.
He came through the golf course last time. Over that way.
Ooh, it's
cold.
Sure is. Hey, what time is it?
Yeah, about 9:30. Golf course, huh?
Yeah. You playing?
Yeah, not for a long time. Used to be pretty good.
I never could get interested in that game.
Oh, it's a great game.
Look, I pounded a beat for a lot of years. I had enough walking.
Oh, but it's great exercise.
This is all the exercise I'll ever want. Boy, I'm freezing. Ben?
Yeah?
No, I don't think he's going to show.
Hey, I just thought of something.
What?
Funny if they already got him.
Well, I told him where we were. They'd let us know. I'll bet you a good dinner.
Hold it.
You hear it?
No. I didn't hear anything, Ben.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a dog or something.
That's no dog. Keep it down. You see him?
No.
There he is. Wheatley goes over to the hall.
He's holding his shoulder. He's hurt.
He's our boy. Let him get to the hall. What's with that dog?
Yeah, it sounds like it's coming up here.
William!
Oh, no. A man's running.
Stop! Stop or I'll shoot!
Look out, Ben. He's down. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Shut up, William. Now, let's take a look.
William! William! Are you all right?
You crazy nut.
William!
Stay where you are, Davis.
William, get out.
Yeah.
You got the fella, huh?
How about it, Quine?
He's dead.
Shame on you, William. You dog, you.
Mr. Davis.
Yeah?
Come here.
Well, sure.
Take it easy, Pete.
What do you want?
Has that dog got a license? Huh?
Lineup, where before you pass the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen again next week when we again bring you The Lineup.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Cogger, Sergeant Pete Cogger. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have him held. The officers will remain in the
system. The Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie, was written by Blake Edwards and Robert Wells, with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Jack Moyles as Sergeant Pete Cogger, with Joel Samuels, Virginia Gregg, Howard McNear, Harry Lang, Jim Backus, and Dave Light. The Lineup was transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. Approximately 228,000 crippled children and adults were served by Easter Seals during 1951. How? Through 2,000 affiliated societies in every state, the District of Columbia, and in Alaska, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico. These societies provided medical care, therapy, home teaching, camping, and workshops. They established employment services, cerebral palsy centers, and rehabilitation centers for persons of all races and creeds. Still, there remain in this country thousands of crippled children who need care. You can help reach more of them by contributing generously to Easter Seals. If you know a crippled child or adult who needs help, call the Crippled Children's Society in your county. Remember, to help crippled children and adults, contribute generously to your Easter Seals Society. Give to Easter Seals and support this work. Lineup will be heard 25 minutes earlier. Be sure to listen to The Lineup next week, April 1st, immediately following Life with Luigi and The Luella Parsons Show. That's next week, April 1st.
That was The Lineup. You're probably not going to hear that next week here on the Grand Hour. It was the Bakery Bandit. That had multiple names when I was researching it. One was the Silk Stocking Bandit. Had an original air date of the 25th of March, 1952. As you heard, Jim Backus was part of that ensemble. It was written, co-written by Blake Edwards, which I've been kind of featuring some of Blake Edwards' stuff here the last couple of days, a couple of shows. Probably will continue that, as he was more prolific than I thought. My name is Arthur, and you've been listening to The Grand Hour here at 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm going to go ahead and play out the rest of the Richard Diamond soundtrack. Julian's up next with Soundslaking if you're listening live. Thanks.